Good evening. We will be reading the scripture listed on the card, starting with Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, and then back to Psalm chapter 16. Habakkuk is nestled in the scriptures, one of the minor prophets between Nahum and Zephaniah. I think it has altogether 56 verses, but it contains a message for us. We're looking forward to what Brother David has to share with us tonight from these scriptures on the joy of the Lord. Habakkuk 3:17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no more herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singers on my stringed instruments. And then back to Psalm chapter 16. Preserve me, O God, in thee do I for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt shew me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's kneel before the Lord in prayer.
We are blessed to see so many coming out on a Monday evening to hear the word of the Lord. We appreciate the presence of all the Pleasant Hill folks, and we also have support from our home church of Trinity here tonight, and we appreciate that also very much. Tonight, as you will see, the topic which we like to speak about is the joy of the Lord. As we think about the joy of the Lord and we think of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was very careful that in the 16th chapter of John, he spoke much of joy, the fact that he was leaving them in presence. He was returning to the Father, and his death would soon take place. But he told them he would give them a joy which no man could take from them. And he told them that they should pray and ask that their joy might be full. It is God's purpose for his church tonight, in all ages, that we experience the joy of the Lord. The joy is something which the world cannot counterfeit, which Satan cannot counterfeit. It is something which the world knows nothing about. The true joy which God gives through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we would like to look at tonight, the joy of the Lord and several aspects of that. As we think about this word joy, we have words in both the Old Testament and the New Testament which speak of joy. We have the word joy, and then we also have some words which tend to moderate and define the joy in various ways. As we look at the Old Testament word, the word joy, we have the word joy, we have the word gladness, and we have the word mirth. In the Hebrew, they are all the same word. But you see, they give us a little bit different concepts of what the word joy means. For instance, the definition of joy, we might could give several definitions, but the joy is a delight of the mind arising from the consideration or the personal possession of a desire. The consideration, the delight of the mind, which our minds have when we possess, or if we have the future hope of realizing a spiritual desire. We might give that as a definition of joy. Now, some of the modifying words for joy, when joy is moderate to a degree, it is gladness. The scripture says in Psalm 100 and verse 2, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with gladness. I believe it is there in Psalm 100 and verse 2. When joy reaches its highest degree, it's exaltation. I had to look into that a little bit this morning. There's two words. There's exaltation and there's exultation with an A and a U. They are two separate words is what I was able to find. The word most closely related to the word joy is exaltation, spelled with a U. It's a very high degree of joy. When our desires are limited by our possessions, that is contentment. That is kind of a word somewhat related to joy. You know, there is always joy and contentment when our desires are limited by our possessions. When our desires are accomplished, it is satisfaction. We have a number of scriptures in the Old Testament speaking of satisfaction. And there's always joy and satisfaction are closely related in our experience. When joy has so long possessed the mind that it has settled into a temper, it is the New Testament word of cheerfulness. You know, when we have joy for a long period of time, it settles into our mind, it takes a hold of our mind, it becomes cheerfulness, it becomes part of our experience. And so tonight, if we want to look a little bit more closely to joy of the Lord, we have five or six points which we'd like to speak to tonight concerning joy. First of all, the scripture is very plain, I believe, that joy is the evidence of the experience and the presence of God in one's life. We cannot experience true Christian joy without a strong feeling, a manifest presence, an understanding of God, that God is in my life and God is close to me in my life. We need to understand tonight that just because we are a Christian does not mean we are experiencing joy necessarily. There are times, and I believe all of us would say, in the times of our Christian life when God feels more distant. And those times are the very times when we do not have the joy. David, in his experience, you know, in several places in the Psalms, he said, "Why art thou cast down, my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" When we consider that period of time after David had sinned with Bathsheba, that time period before Nathan approached to him, and we read this 51st Psalm, it's very evident that there was a period of time when he was not experiencing the joy and closeness of God. And so tonight I would say whether we are experiencing the joy of God and the delight in God as we should is a pretty good indicator of how close we are walking with God and what our current experience with God is at any given moment. It's God's purpose. And it's Jesus' purpose that we experience close, abiding relationship with him at all times. And when we do that, then we will be experiencing joy. So joy is the evidence of the presence of God in one's life. And the scripture which was read in the opening, Psalm 16, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." It says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Presence and right hand, they both indicate a nearness to God, and they both indicate that joy will be the experience of those who are near to God. In 1 Chronicles 16:27, David's, I believe it was, speaking, says, "Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place." We also see that joy comes about when we experience a closeness with God through his word. In the book of Nehemiah, remember how they had laid aside the law of God for a period of time and they brought out the books and they read the books. And in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 12, it says he calls them to understand the words that were declared to them. And they were celebrating, it says, with that word mirth. Same word as joy. Because the word of God had been exposed to them and they were rejoicing in the word of God and they were glad concerning that. They had, after a long period of lapsing and being away from God, the word of God had brought them back. And they were experiencing the joy and the presence of God like they had not experienced for a long time. And so, we as God's people have the challenge within our life. And God has made it possible through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit that we can experience joy in all times in our life. But that can only come, as we said, and we might say, as it's put into terms of, in the context of John 15, abiding in Christ. The joy is in the abiding. The joy is in the relationship. God's presence and understanding of God and His love for us is what will bring us joy. If we find that our joy is lacking, we need to consider whether we have declined or slipped in our devotional life and are looking too much to outward circumstances. You know, if we are looking at our circumstances and whatever things we are facing in life, that will draw our joy away to be focused on the world and the things of the world and all the things which are going on in the world. That will draw our joy away because we have lost our focus on God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His desire that we focus on Him. And so we need to examine ourselves to see if we have slipped in our devotional life, if we find that our joy is lacking. You know, many times it is the circumstances of life which draw us away. And as we think of one of the experiences in the life of the disciples, you remember they were in a storm at sea, crossing the Sea of Galilee, and the ship was being tossed and turned, and Jesus, they did not feel the presence of Jesus, and He came walking to them in the water. And you know, when Jesus came, the joy returned, the calm returned. He said, "Be of good cheer." They had momentarily lost His presence. They had for a period of time lost the presence of Jesus. And so tonight, the challenge for us as Christians, let us maintain the felt, realized presence of Jesus in our life at all times and in all situations. And thereby, we can maintain the joy of Christ in our life. You know, as we think about the joy, I want to mention this before we go a little bit further in the message. The fruit of the Spirit, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. What position does it hold in the list of the fruits of the Spirit? We have love, joy, and peace. It's second. Paul goes to write the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians to tell us about the superiority of love. But it's interesting to me that number two in the fruits of the Spirit is joy above all the rest of them except the love. And so I believe that tells us that that is a great treasure. The fruits of the love, the joy which Christ has given us and left with us when He returned to heaven is one of the great treasures which He has given His people. And so number one tonight, joy is evidence of the presence of God and the nearness of God in one's life. Secondly, tonight, we see and we understand that our salvation is the root of our joy. The very root of our joy is salvation. A personal experience of salvation, which God has given us through the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no Christian joy apart from salvation. And the salvation and the joy of salvation is based in an understanding of our redemption. The fact that our soul was freed from sin. We sing sometimes, "Free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. Cursed by the fall cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, Christ has redeemed us once and for all." If we fully, by the grace of God, understand the depth and the sinfulness of our human condition, and what Christ has saved us from, if we understand the price of our redemption and the cost of our redemption, that will bring us tremendous joy. And that is the root of all of our joy, the very root of our salvation. Here in the scripture there, which was read in Habakkuk chapter 3, what does he say here? Verse 17, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." He understood what the root was. It was the fact that even though the land was experiencing a lot of difficulties, the very root, the salvation, was still there. And regardless of what we may pass through as God's people, nothing can take away the root, the salvation experience, which the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. As we think about a little bit further about the thought that our salvation is the root of our joy, if we turn back to Exodus chapter 15, the Old Testament type of salvation was the redemption experience of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea. It says in Exodus 15, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. Here, immediately after the waters of the Red Sea had drowned the Egyptians, Israel was safe on the other side. That was a redemptive experience, and they gloried in that, and they rejoiced in that. They recognized that that was all of God and God's manifest power, that they had destroyed the Egyptians there. And they had here in the 15th chapter of Exodus, they have a time of glorifying and praising God for the salvation which he had given them. There's many other Old Testament scriptures which we could speak to the fact that our salvation is the root of our joy. Hannah, when she was granted a son, the son Samuel, she rejoiced in the God of her salvation. In Isaiah chapter 12, I think I'll turn to that one. It's the basis of one of the familiar songs which we love so much in the Little Green Hymnal. In Isaiah chapter 12, talks about salvation again, verses 2 through 5. It says, therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. They are praising and glorifying God and challenging the people to draw water out of the wells of salvation. You know, our salvation experience is a well to which we can constantly go and draw water. Just as we go to a well and continue to get a stream of water out of a good well, we can continue to reflect in our Christian experience about our salvation and what God has done for us and how he has drew us up out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a rock and established our goings. We can continue to resort to our salvation experience and draw joy in that from that experience. As we look into the New Testament, in Acts chapter 8, you remember the experience of the Ethiopian eunuch. He knew nothing or very little about God, but he was reading, and Philip came and joined himself to the chariot, and he had a salvation explained to him, and he was baptized. And what does it say? It says the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. He was rejoicing in his salvation and in the God of his salvation. And so we too can rejoice and understand that our salvation is the root of our joy. Romans 15:13 says, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. All joy and peace in believing. Again, a reference to our salvation as the source of our joy. And also the last one I'd like to point out is in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. It says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joys unspeakable and full of glory. Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing. That is our experience. We haven't seen God, but our salvation is in our believing of him. And we rejoice in that. You know, the Old Testament illustration of this verse here in 1 Peter, which always crosses my mind, or usually crosses my mind, is when Eliezer went to get a bride for Isaac. The Holy Spirit went, and she rejoiced, even though she rejoiced at the word of Eliezer. She rejoiced and she believed, even though she hadn't seen him yet. And you know, that is the way it is with us. We have not seen Christ with our eyes yet. We shall see him. What we believe, what God through the Holy Spirit, the Word has spoken unto us, and we rejoice, even though we have not seen. Whom having not seen, ye love. And so I think that is a blessed verse. We rejoice in the God of our salvation. We will see him, for we shall be like him, for we shall see him. And so we see tonight that not only is joy the evidence of the presence of God in one life, joy is the salvation is the root of our joy. Next, we'd like to look at the thought that the anticipation of a future hope brings joy and strength for the present. The anticipation of a blessed future brings joy and strength for the present. You know, this thought is held out continually throughout the scripture that we can endure and we can experience difficult things because we have the anticipation of a future hope. We rejoice because we know, for instance, when Jesus sent out the 70, they came back and they rejoiced in the fact that the spirits were subject unto them. Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. He said, rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, he was setting before them a future expectation, which gave them power and gave them strength for the present. There's other illustrations of this, which I think we can look at in Hebrews 12:2. Scripture says, speaking of Jesus, said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the same. The anticipation of being blessed with his Father, hearing that he's well done and the blessing of his Father helped him to endure the cross and to despise the shame. And so when we can set and have set before us a blessed future, you remember we defined this word in the beginning, the idea of a blessed future concerning our desires. We can experience joy in the present because we have the confidence of a blessed future which is given us through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we talk about the thought of a blessed future, there's a few other scriptures we might look at or we might consider. Paul says, for the sufferings, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see the same principle. We look beyond the difficult experiences of this present time because there's going to be glory, there's going to be joy set before us. The Word of God continually calls us to be looking forward, to looking above and beyond this life. We don't dwell too much upon this life, but rather we dwell upon the glory and the joy which is set before us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, I want to turn to that and read a few verses here, I believe. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Here again, Peter is telling them as they were suffering, don't look so much at the present sufferings. Don't look so much at the present experiences. He said, look to the joy which is set before you. Look for Christ's glory when that will be revealed. He says, then ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And so I think you understand the principle. I think we've spoken enough on that. We as God's people are a forward-looking people because we have a glorious future and we can experience joy in the present because of our expectation in the future. Perhaps we ought to look a little bit at the opposite of that. What about the wicked? What about those who have not the joy? What does Job say about that? Job says that the hope of the expectation of the wicked shall perish. You know, the unsaved and the world has no joy set before them because their hope, we were speaking of the hope of the Christian and the joy which is set before the Christian. The world has none of that. The unsaved has none of that. The expectation, the hope of the wicked shall perish. Also in Proverbs 10:28 it says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. And so the anticipation of a blessed future brings joy and strength for the present. The next thing we like to look at tonight is that joy is independent of earthly possessions and earthly conditions. One of the great blessings of our Christian experience of joy is that it is independent. It really has nothing to do. True Christian joy has nothing to do with one's circumstances and one's condition. And for that, we can go back to what was read in the opening. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You know, as we look at that verse, that was a difficult time. Their sustenance was gone. The fields were drying up. It was a difficult time. But the prophet says, we still have our joy. In Psalms 4 and verse 7, it says, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time when the corn and the wine increased. Joy and gladness was more than in the time, even when they did have favorable circumstances. And so we can see that joy is independent of all earthly circumstances and conditions. Paul and Silas in the jail at Philippi, they were beaten and they were fastened in stocks. But yet we all know what they did. They still had the joy. They were praising and thanking God. God did a mighty miracle there because they can maintain the joy, totally independent of all the conditions which they had. The writer also speaks in Hebrews 10 and 34. He talks about the Hebrews took joyfully the spoiling of their goods because they realized they had a more abiding possession. They were willing to have their goods plundered because they had an abiding possession. And so we see in this scripture in Habakkuk and these other examples that Habakkuk served God not for what he gives, but because of who he is, because he was God, and he rejoiced in the midst of his sufferings. You know, as we think about this, and I know we all go through difficult times in life, we all have our own story, so to speak. And, you know, as I think back upon my own life, I guess I would say the two greatest difficulties I've passed through in my own life was fire and death of a spouse. We had a large barn fire back in 1975, lost the entire contents of the barn. That was the loss of earthly possessions. But I thank God that I did not lose the joy. Even at that time, as I remember that barn being, standing there watching the barn burn, I clearly remember that I had joy in my heart. It was almost unexplainable. Not happiness that the barn was being destroyed. All the fruits of our labor went up in smoke there. August, the barn was clear full. Not joy, the loss of those things, but somehow God gave me joy as I watched that barn burn. And then also, in the death of a spouse, God was able to give me joy and peace in his sovereignty in the spite of that loss, the greatest loss which I have ever experienced. I know a lot of you have gone through hard and difficult experiences of life too, and you can testify that you also have experienced the joy which only God can give. And so we just thank and praise God that when things are difficult, the circumstances does not control the joy, but the joy gives us victory over the circumstances. Another verse of scripture, I think, which illustrates this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. In the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church to share with the to take an offering, to share with the saints in Jerusalem, and he's using the Macedonian church as an example. He's challenging them to good works by what another church has done. And he says in that verse, he says that he wants to remind them that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, even though they were a poor church and they were going through great trials, it did not keep them from giving. It did not keep them from sharing. And it did not take away their joy. And he was using them to challenge the Corinthian church. And I think we can be challenged for that as well. You know, as we think about this thought of joy being independent of circumstances, the world's approach is that you do something to change your circumstances and then you will get happiness. In other words, if I can change my circumstances or whatever it might take, then I will become happiness or I will have joy. For instance, you know, some time ago, and we all recognize what the lottery does. The lottery was, I don't know how many million, and people were going, lining up to buy all these tickets. Exactly what was going through their mind. If I change my circumstances, that is, if I win the lottery, if I become millions and millionaire multiple times over, then I'm going to change my circumstances, then I'm going to have happiness or joy, what they would call joy. That is the world's way of thinking, but it's not always on such a grandiose scale. You know, sometimes even as Christians, we think, if I can get this, if I can go and, you know, if I get enough money to buy this house or I buy this item or buy this, I buy something else, then it's going to change my circumstances and I'm going to have happiness, we're going to have joy. That is the worldly way of thinking. As Christians, we do not and we should not think this way, because the world, to the world, changing my circumstances will bring happiness. You know, sometimes people think that way relating and regarding their marriages as well. They think, if I just be married to someone else, or if I just have someone else, then I'll be happy. We need to look at ourselves. We need to realize that joy comes from within, comes from God, and not from the change of circumstances. And so, the fourth place tonight, joy is independent of earthly conditions and circumstances. The last point we'd like to make tonight before we close, joy is expressed in many ways, but it is often expressed by our countenance, by our lips, and by our body. You know, as we look at the various expressions of joy in the Scripture, many times in the Old Testament, we see it was expressed by the body, and even the New Testament as well. It can be expressed by our lips. And, you know, as we sing the great songs of Zion, we're expressing joy with our lips. In the Old Testament, Miriam, it says there in Exodus 15, the chapter which we referred to earlier, she came out with a timbrel, and the ladies came out with dancing. They were experiencing the joy of their salvation. David, when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back from the house of Obed-Edom, the Scripture says, David danced before the Lord. This was a holy dance, a holy expression of David's expression of joy unto God. You know, his wife didn't like that very well. You know, people that are not spiritual, non-spiritual people don't like it very well when Christians experience and express their joy. She didn't like it very well. Scripture says, I believe, she had despised him in her heart. Be that as it may, we should use our bodies, and we should use our to express our joy. Our countenance should express our joy. The countenance which is upon our face can express our joy. In Luke 6:23, Jesus talks about when we are persecuted, he says we should leap for joy. That might be kind of hard to do. In Psalm 63, we express joy with joyful lips. In Hebrews, by him, therefore, let us offer sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to our name. James says, is any merry, let him sing songs. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about the word of God dwelling in us richly, speaking and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, it's God's purpose that each one of us has a song upon our heart, I believe, at all times. I believe at all times when we are not necessarily, you know, we do need to focus our mind on our jobs and that type of thing, but I believe in our idle moments as Christians, when our mind is not engaged in some task, I believe there should be a song or a psalm or some praise to God welling up upon our heart. I believe that's what's being spoken of here about the Word of God dwelling in us richly. Maybe a verse of Scripture or something like that. Whether perhaps it's in the night season, we lie awake sometimes at night. I believe it should be the Word of God and a song or a psalm or something of that nature wells up within our heart. That is a gift of God. That is not something we work up on our own. But that comes from a close, abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 15, and there we go back to that chapter as we close, concerning abiding in Christ. In John 15, he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Tonight, we need to ask ourselves the questions, both as Christians or as non-Christians. Am I experiencing the joy of the Lord? For a believer tonight, perhaps you're here and you find out that your soul is downcast, that you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord. We'd like to give you the invitation to make a rededication, rededicate your life, to come back to say to God, God, I need a closer walk with you. I'd like you to restore the joy of my salvation. Folks here will pray for you. They will encourage you, and God will encourage you and strengthen you to restore the joy into your life. And perhaps you're here tonight as an unsaved individual. You've never experienced this joy. You realize that the world has not given you the joy, but you know and understand through the Holy Spirit that that joy can be had through the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal relationship with Him. We'd like to invite you to make your peace with Him tonight and experience that joy while we sing a hymn of invitation. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight. Please stand or come forward until you're recognized. What number shall we sing? 284 in the black book, 284.